Miracle Life has been so blessed over the years, the different youth leaders that we've had, that God has used some of them, then God has led them to some amazing other things that God's using their lives to do. Amen. So we've been talking about identity, and that this identity of how we see ourselves, it is a battle. Because there are other sources, there are other people, there are other streams coming into our life of how we're going to try to think about ourselves. Eve did not do so well when Satan said to, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. And so she lost that battle on the arena of identity. And yet Jesus, thousands of years later, Satan came twice to him and said, if you are the Son of God, then you'll do this. Well, Jesus knew he was the Son of God. He knew that he was loved and approved and accepted by his Father, and so he had nothing to prove to Satan or the world. And so the battles that you and I will face very, very often will be around this area of identity. And so the New Testament in Christ, because of Jesus, tells us, and we've seen in the last few weeks, that we are a child of God. We're born from above. We are forgiven. That is that we are washed by the blood of Jesus. We're clean because of him. We're reconciled to God. He likes us. We're friends with God. And then last week we saw that we have a standing with God called righteousness. It's not based on what we do. It's not based on what we've done or will do. It's based on a pure gift that God gave us because of Jesus. So we're righteous. We're forgiven. We're reconciled. We're a child of God. Now, what we want to see today as we close the series is, what do we do with all these other sources of our identity? And there would be a lot of people that would find their identity in different sources. Today, in the world that we live in, I didn't used to see this when I was a kid, but now people identify with sinful behavior. They march for their identity that God says is not how I created you to be. And so their sin becomes their identity. Maybe it's something in your family or that happened because of your birth. Maybe I should go march with all the tall people of the world, stand united. Okay. Or is it because of your accomplishments? Things that you've done, and maybe some of them are really great. Is that where you find your identity? So let's go and see, because Paul has a strategy, Paul has instruction for us of what do we do with these other places of our identity. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Now, in the church of Galatia, there's a big controversy around circumcision. So people who were born into the Jewish family, into the Jewish nation, on the eighth day, males, little babies, would be circumcised. And so that became a part of who they were and how they could distinguish themselves. God commanded it. But now they're saying all Christians should do this. And Paul is declaring it doesn't matter anymore. All right? In the New Living Translation, it puts it this way. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. All right, so that new creation is our identity, not what my family may or may not have done for me. Okay? It doesn't matter. It is not important. So if someone in that day and age was going around thinking, this is important, they're deceived. And many, many Christians walk around today thinking these things about my life that might be true. Maybe my family gave them to me or I accomplished. And we think, wow, this is so important. Look at me. We're walking in self-deception. And we're not walking in the fullness of what God has for us. All right, go to Philippians chapter 3, because Paul really breaks it down in specifics in this text. All right, Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. You're thinking, what is... I think it's good to beware of the mutilation. Doesn't sound good. Well, these were these Judaizers. These were the folks who were trying to come in behind him and say, now you have to be circumcised. Okay? Verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Human ability, how we were born, no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So, if you want to talk about other sources of identity, if you want to talk about carnal ways to see yourself, Paul is saying, like Jackie Chan, bring it on. All right. And now he lists his CV. All right. And this is kind of a spiritual CV, but these would all be things that people in that day would say, whoa, that's awesome. Look at you. All right. So here it is. Here's the list. Verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day, meaning I had good parents. The stock of Israel, from the family of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. That was an honorable tribe. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Right? So notice all of those things that are listed there. Those were things that other people did for Paul. So obviously, the family that you were born into, you didn't get to choose, did you? Somebody else made that choice. Circumcised on the eighth day. That was his heritage. That was how he was raised. A Hebrew of Hebrews. Then he goes on to say a list of things that Paul did for himself. These were performance linked. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. All right. So let's look at this. So the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. Now, you didn't just volunteer to be a Pharisee. This was a lifelong quest of memorizing scripture, of obedience to the Torah. And the Pharisees even then went higher. They went extra credit. And they lived that way. So I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Okay. Concerning zeal, passion, I persecuted the church. I found out that these Christians were going to maybe dismantle the Jewish, our Jewish, what we believe. And so I went after them. I put them in jail. I killed them. All right. And concerning the law, or righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Blameless. Okay, so all of these things are true about Paul. Now, how did he think about them? Verse 7. But what things were gain? So there was a time in my life where this was awesome. It was a positive in my life. These I have counted loss. I put them from the positive column into the negative column. Not neutral. I don't even see these as important at all. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. Or if we were in South Africa, we'd say, rubbish. Sounds better, doesn't it? That I may, why do I consider it rubbish? That I may gain Christ and be found in Him. That's identity, isn't it? So not found in what my family did for me, not my heritage, not found in what I did for me, my performance, that I might be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, mean I'm going to identify with Jesus in every area, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So, there are people that find great pride in their family name, of their lineage, okay? And there are people who feel the opposite, okay? That when we hear their family name, we smile at them, but we go, that's not so awesome. All right. What country was I born into? What do I look like? All these things that my family gave to me through DNA. Or all the things that Paul did for himself. And these are really the two main areas where people find identity. Okay. They were gain, now they are lost. Paul put it this way, New Living Translation. He said, I once thought these things were valuable. All right? So you're born again, you live in a world that believes these things are valuable. You come into Jesus, and Paul says, you need to make a conscious decision to change your mind. You need a conscious decision that what you used to think was important is no longer important. Okay? I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value. Everybody say compared. Okay, so that's why they lose their value, is because I value Jesus. I value what he has done so highly and so accurately that everything else is just, it's just okay. I've got a surname. Yeah, I've got a passport. Not a big deal. What's a big deal is Jesus and what he did. For his sake, I have discarded everything, counting it as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Now, let's pause there. So this is New Living Translation, garbage. New King James, rubbish. Another translation calls it dung. All right. The literal Greek refers to it as it is excrement. Am I allowed to use that word in church? All right. But that's kind of a nice word, isn't it, for that? How many know there are a lot of other words? Paul used one of those other words. So much that historians, Greek thinkers, and theologians have written papers, did Paul cuss when he wrote this verse? Because it's so edgy, all right? And so that's not my purpose today. But let's agree with this. What Paul is saying is that the stuff from my birth, the stuff that I've accomplished, compared to Jesus and what he's done, it's flushable. I don't need to brag about it. It's gone. It's rubbish. It's part of the sewer system. All right? It's that. Okay? So tell your friends what you learned in church today. Okay? So what Paul is asking us to do is to live in the light of this. Now, what Paul said about himself, these were things to brag about, weren't they? When somebody heard Benjamin, ooh, that's a good tribe. Yeah, they've got a lot of good heritage with them. Pharisee, wow, we like those guys. All right, now, there were some other people in the Bible that when they thought of their identity, they went to the same places that Paul mentioned, but it wasn't to celebrate. They felt inferior. All right, let's look at a couple examples here. Saul, who was the first king of Israel, God used Samuel to find him and to anoint him. And so he did what he was supposed to do. He's communicating to Saul about this. And in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, when Saul realized this, he answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? So Paul was bragging about it, same tribe. Saul was saying, man, we're just a tiny little tribe. We're not substantial. Smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, one thing, how do you know that, Saul? But he believed it. My family is the lowest. Why then do you speak like this to me? All right, now, years before there were kings, there were judges in Israel. And God was choosing Gideon to do a special assignment for him. And he almost said the same thing as Saul, almost verbatim. All right, so he hears that God is choosing him. And this is in Judges 6:15. And he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Why would you pick me? I don't think I have this ability. Indeed, my clan," everybody say my clan, "is the weakest in Manasseh." So that was his tribe. "And I am the least in my father's house." So can you hear that both Saul and Gideon, their first reaction was, "My tribe, my clan, my family." You thought tribalism was a problem today. A form of tribalism has existed all around the world forever. And it still affects people today. And so, again, the first reaction is, "My tribe, my clan, my family." Instead of what God is saying about me, about His plan, His destiny. Amen? So where do you go to identify? Where do you go to identify? So there are some today that their family or their tribe or their clan still is kind of the biggest thing about them. I told you the story a few weeks ago, but some members of Miracle Life, we met them at the airport. They were coming back from South Africa. And they had done some traveling. And somebody in South Africa who is a member of an unnamed tribe. All right, don't try to guess. Okay, an unnamed tribe asked, because they'd never been to Zambia. But South Africans hold Zambia in high esteem for a number of reasons. Some is the football. All right. And they said, "So, in Zambia, what is the superior tribe?" And they mentioned their tribe in like here in South Africa, we are the superior tribe. All right? So if you're thinking, "Oh, Pastor, I am a part of the superior tribe," all right, you've got a problem. You've got a problem that the folks in the Bible had, right? Well, let me just say this, that this tribe, this unnamed tribe of South Africa, they had cousins. And a few of their cousins moved to Zambia and formed tribes a number of years ago. Hallelujah. I will tell you this story. I was doing a conference with some folks among those folks, great folks, and we asked the pastor, my friend was going to share on the Good Samaritan. And when we hear Good Samaritan, we think, "Oh, Good Samaritan, Samaritan." Well, Samaritans were looked down upon. They were second-class citizens. They were those people. All right. And so my friend asked this bishop, said, "You know, here in this part of Zambia, where it's pretty much a predominant tribe, who are the Samaritans?" And the bishop just looked without blinking. He said, "Every single person that is not a member of our tribe is a Samaritan." Okay. Don't think you know who I'm talking about. All right. It could be a number of places. Okay. So, but we're just like this, aren't we? All right, now, what are other ways that you and these are some observations that I've made, of where people today go to find identity? All right, sometimes people go to their title. So whatever is before your name, okay? So whatever is before your name many times is maybe something that you did. So you're a professor. That's awesome. Or you're a medical doctor, or you've got a PhD. That really is great. But you know what a title is? It's a place of service. It's a place of responsibility. If you went from Miss to Mrs., now you're married. Yay. Okay, now you have more responsibility. It's not a title of pride. It's a place of responsibility. Okay, so you might be a Mrs. It might have been earned. It might be conferred. When PH and I went to visit our daughter Jessica in the UK in December, I can't remember, but we may have never flown on British Airways. So we were booking our flights, and then it says title. And typically it's Mr., Mrs., Dr., Rev. There's just a few. oh, British Airways, you've got some awesome, awesome choices. All right. And there was one choice. I came this close to choosing it. Viceroy. What's a viceroy? I don't know. But I just thought, I'm going to click it. And on my boarding pass, when I walk in the plane, it's Viceroy Schurz to you. That's just to see what would happen. All right. They might have arrested me. I don't know. I just went with Mr. All right. So some of these kind of titles are conferred to you because your mother was a duchess and you're a duchess. Yay for you. Right? So a lot of times we find, and so what happens, here's the problem, is if that title, that status means something to you, you will do whatever it takes to get it. Okay? And so there's some, I've noticed, there's some single ladies who they want to be a missus. And so they will find any male that has half of a pulse and is breathing. Make me a missus. They don't care if they know the difference from Jesus from Joshua. But if you can make me a missus and I'm married, then I've arrived. You might have arrived to a world of suffering, but at least you're a missus. Okay? So, again, all of these things, these titles, just means we have a responsibility. If I'm a husband, I've got a bigger job than if I don't. And so I need God's help and grace. And so I don't need to find prestige in it. It just means I've got a job to do. All right? I find it's an honorable thing for me to be a pastor. It's a job. It's a responsibility. And by God's grace, we can all do our responsibilities, not find pride in what they are. Okay. Another thing that people do now is they use wealth and displays of wealth in order to somehow feel good about themselves. All right. I don't know if you've on social media, the last 5-6 years or something, people will actually take a picture of their bar tab of how much they've spent drinking alcohol. And there's some that are go 80,000, 100,000, 120,000 in Lusaka. I'm like, where do you drink? I mean, it's crazy. But the fact that you would take a picture, post it on social media and say, look at me. That is the definition of someone who is a fool. That you would take money that could be used for, so many awesome usages and drink it away. And in a few hours, it is also flushable. Okay? Some people, you know, they get a better job or they get more money and they put on 15, 20 kgs just to show, I'm not poor anymore. Just keep nodding, looking straight. We're not talking about you. Okay? Some people use the success of their children in order to gain prestige. Okay? Thankfully, this hasn't come to Zambia, but when my wife and I were in our 20s, this started to happen. People would put bumper stickers on their car. My daughter is an honor student at Roma Girls. So you can just drive down the road. Yeah. Thank you. And as if that's something to brag about, that your daughter can get a good grade on a science exam. All right? And that you want other people to know about it. So all of these, many, many of these things have to do many times with how others see me. And that is not where you get your identity. Because the same people who are cheering today are hissing next week. The standards change. All right? And people are people to be loved, people to serve, people to have a relationship with. And so I get my identity from God. He created me. He fashioned me to be His own child. And then I go into a world with people secure. You remember when we read that You Are Special book in the very first week? There was a one of the wooden figurines was a lady. She didn't have stickers, not gold stickers or gray stickers. Stickers fell off of her because she knew that her Creator loved her. And so she lived a life that other people could not define her. Amen. And that's what God is saying. That's when Paul says, you know, the world has been crucified to me and I to them. All right. So I get my identity from God and not from the group. I go to the group to participate. I go to the group to have relationships, to give and receive love. But I go to the group with a sense of security that's already intact. I don't need them to give me or to withhold something for me. I'll just, you know, as a pastor, and it really is, it's a privilege, it's an honor, it's something that I hold in esteem that the Lord would allow me to do. But there are times where being a pastor, you like at a wedding, you get to sit at table 3. It means the chicken is still hot when they call you up, right? You people on table 34. It's vegetables and hard rice that they have to scrape off, you know. Break your teeth going to the wedding. And then there are other times where being a pastor is nothing, or it's actually considered negative, okay, around some people. But the fact is, I've got to be, that's a role that I have under the Lord, but I'm loved by God, I'm secure by God, and so I, whether people like it or don't, that's on them. It's not who God has made me. Let's look at one more scripture here. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we are all in the family of God, right? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither. So now that we are in Christ, in this wonderful family, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And isn't that interesting that whether it's nationality status, economic status, gender, that many, many places in the world, they rank those, don't they? This one is better than this one. All right? And what it means is that whatever you are, because we're something, okay? And how many of you know when you got born again, you still are female? That's awesome. That's good. Somebody's still male, so you don't become gender neutral after you're born again. It just means it doesn't matter anymore. Okay, so I understand that I've got these responsibilities. I'm going to flow in them with God's help and by His grace. But I don't see myself above nor below other people because I am in Christ. I'm one with Christ. I'm Abraham's seed. I'm an heir according to the promise, it goes on to say. Some of you may know that the country to our north, DR Congo, DRC, has been in the news a lot, right? And so the war that's been going on in the east, stop and start for really decades, has flared up again. And there's obviously economic issues there and different things, but there's also ethnic issues that this group feels a certain way and they identify with this group. And I was there in Kinshasa last year, and a pastor picked me up from the airport, and he was sharing about what was happening, and then he told me a story of what God did in his life. And he said that, you know, growing up in this part of Kinshasa, in this part of the world, he said, you know, those people in the east, and those that may kind of have a heritage more from the Tutsis in Rwanda, and, you know, that they are taking our minerals, and they are marrying our women, and they are doing these things. And he said just the hatred and the animosity, and sometimes even if you would see someone like that, or and they're in the wrong section of town, they could get beat up or killed. And he was in the States at a church conference, and at the end of the service, God put on his heart, there's a lady over here, And he just saw her from behind. He thought, oh, this is an African-American lady. He said, go give her a word of knowledge. I want to encourage her. And he had the scriptures. He knew what to do. So he went over there after the service, and he was ready to give it to her. And she turned around, and he realized, oh, this is not an African-American. This is a Rwandan-American. Or there's just a Rwandan. Okay. Different look, Tutsi. And immediately said that anger got triggered in his heart, this animosity. And then he realized, wait a second, this lady has done nothing to me. She's in the family of God. He says, I'm going to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit said. And he gave her this word. He gave her these scriptures. She is crying. The Holy Spirit is ministering to her. And then he starts crying because God's ministering to her, him, thinking, why would you see her in another way than what I see her? And I realized, and we were chatting, that more than likely, while that word was good for her, it was even better for him. Because there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither Congolese or Rwandan. There is neither Bemba nor Tonga. There is neither Lozi nor Lunda. There is neither Zimbabwean or Kenyan. Right now, but wait a second, but I am. Yes, of course you are. But go into that group with a sense of redemption. I belong to Jesus, and I'm here to spread his love and to spread his grace. Amen? And here's another thing that I think will help us, is that many, many times where there's Jew and Greek and all that kind of stuff, is we get taught, and boy, I was taught this in America, in different areas, is you begin to learn about a different group and what they did to our people 200 years ago. Did they do it to you? No. Do you even know anybody? No. But I'm mad about what they did to my group 200 years ago. And so I've got to keep that bitterness alive, and then I've got to teach my kids to be bitter, and they've got to teach their kids to be bitter. Stop it. Stop it. Let grace break that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are in the family of God. And so I see myself differently, and I get to see my brothers and sisters differently. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Why don't we stand to our feet? Paul said, I don't want to boast in anything other than Jesus. Who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for me. So Paul said to boast. Why don't we just have some practice about boasting? Boasting in the Lord. Boasting about what he's done in your life. Boasting in how he has made you.